Hi there. Have you ever missed out because your pride got the better of you? Has your greed lost you respect from others and people that you were once close to? Have you pushed people away because your envy was eating you and them alive? Has your temper got the better of you too many times? Or were you overly angry about something and struggled to control your temper? Have you lusted after the wrong people or things and it's cost you to lose someone and kill the trust between you? Do you frequently eat and drink to excess? Perhaps it's an addiction or an emotional issue. Do you ever feel disheartened because you haven't got much energy or motivation to go out and do the things that you actually want to do? This episode will cover the 7 deadly sins and how you can use them to actually motivate you and use them for a productive existence. This episode is brought to you by Auspicious Minds, where we help you break those daily bad habits and swap them for better ones to achieve a healthier and positive lifestyle. Use our advice and tips for your greater good. If you like our episodes, please subscribe to us so that you get to hear them whenever we put them out each week. Download our episodes so you can listen to them on the go whenever you want. Success begins from within. Hello there, lovely people, and welcome to episode 9 of the Auspicious Minds podcast. I'm Yvonne, your host, and in this episode, we're going to be chatting about the 7 deadly sins, or the capital sins as they're also known, and how you can use them to create balance in your life and use them to thrive. I won't be discussing the movie 7 because, to be quite honest, it was a long time ago and I don't really remember it, other than the head in the box and, for some reason, a dead guy face down in a bowl full of spaghetti. I think that just set my inner carb monster off. But moving on, the 7 deadly sins goes way back, and it was believed that by partaking in these sins, it guarantees you your own ensuite in hell. Now, I'm not going to go any further into religion because everybody has different beliefs, but I will say that the church do tend to promote the 7 virtues these days rather than the 7 sins, which cleverly is a more positive and better way of reinforcing humans to do the right thing for them. What I will be discussing are these sins in modern day examples and the obvious disadvantages of having them and turning them into advantages so that you can have a better, more positive existence. We're all about balance here at Auspicious Minds, so it's good to flip the bad around into the good and go from there. A lot of these sins are linked as well, so we will be discussing that shortly. So let's jump into the episode, how you can balance your 7 sins for a positive life. What are the 7 sins? Pride, greed, envy, wrath, lust, gluttony, sloth. These are natural human urges. In excess, they can be toxic to ourselves and other people. However, by moderating these urges, there can be some great positives in here, and these sins can actually teach us how to enhance our lives. They are great motivators and drivers behind these urges that we can use effectively to better ourselves. Learning from these mistakes is part of our human experience. If we were talking about a typical narcissistic person, it's quite possible that all of these sins can be linked together quite closely, as one drives the others. So, for example, if you're an extremely proud person, it can give you that superficial feel that you're the center of the universe, a sense of entitlement to everything. You may not get what you want, you may not want to give anything away, so you cling on to what you have. This can make you greedy, wanting more and more of your fair share, clinging on, feelings of insecurity, and seeing someone then have more than what you have. That can lead to envy, because you want what they want, and you don't like it. That can make you feel angry, wrath, and sometimes the only soothing way to deal with that wrath is to seek pleasure in the form of lust or gluttony. So lust, finding pleasure there in a sexual form, or gluttony, maybe eating too much, drinking too much, drugs even. And when all that fun subsides, you do fall into a sloth mindset, disheartened, demotivated, falling into bad habits. And that's how they can be linked. We will be covering more about each sin, the disadvantages, the unmet needs that cause these to excess, and the advantages too, obviously. By recognizing these things, we can be more mindful of them and use them to balance and improve our lives. Set goals too. Pride. What is it about pride that could be so sinful? Well, it's often claimed to be the worst of the seven because it's a gateway to the other six and more besides. But its ultimate downfall is that, excessively, it can cause a person to think they are above other people. And that's rarely going to give them a nice karmic comeback some point down the line. Being overly proud can cause unlikable characteristics such as extreme stubbornness, being judgmental, and being vain. It can cause selfishness, which can mean other people could suffer, and that's not good. Too much pride can make one seem like they're up their own arse. It can be a good way of pushing other people away and ending up alone. Being conceited and boastful is a response to low self-esteem and confidence, feelings of invisibility. You may have heard of the saying, pride before a fall. When a very seemingly confident person refuses help with something because they've got this, then some kind of downfall curveball is thrown at them to challenge this. And herein lies another disadvantage of too much pride. Refusal to ask for help when it's needed. Not wanting to appear weak or vulnerable, especially when the help of another person could make the situation better. Pride can stop someone from connecting with themselves. But it's not all bad. Pride on the other side of the spectrum can give you a reason to keep showing up every day. It can have you trying harder to achieve your goals. It can make you stand taller and feel motivated to do well in your endeavours, earning to keep you and others surviving, working hard in your career, smashing goals, doing your work to the best of your capabilities. When you've achieved something and felt proud of yourself, that was a win. Taking care of your appearance, looking after your home and your garden and your car if you have one. It's important to let others know that you're proud of them too. This goes a long way, especially with the younger folks. The best way to manage pride for your greater good is to use it positively. If it's your pride that continues to keep you thriving and healthy, then keep doing that. Pride from a loving place can keep you driven and succeeding. It can motivate others around you to be driven and succeed too. As long as you can stay mindful that when your pride starts to be of a detriment to other people and yourself, the moment you recognize those I'm better than them thoughts, that's when you need to stop. That's when it starts working against you. That's when pride has moved into the excessively ego zone. And even if you're still keeping those conceited thoughts in your own head, your vibe tells the truth and you will have people moving away from you and you'll be sent itty bitty annoyances to knock you off that perch. Work on this whenever you find yourself going there. Go within, have a chat to yourself, recognize the annoyances and they will go away and you'll start striking the balance with pride. Greed. Whenever I hear the word greed, I'm first put in mind of the iconic film Wall Street, where Gordon Gekko announces, "Greed is good." And we know that's bollocks because look what happened to him in that film. That's right, he was sent down for insider trading. Comeuppance. Karma prevailed because he was out for himself and other people suffered during his quest for more power, status and wealth, which he had for a time. But it wasn't enough. He kept wanting more. And this alone is a massive teacher of how greed can become out of hand. The problem with greed is that you risk never really appreciating what you have. Everything, be it enough money, status, power, food, nice clothing, cars, it will always lose its shiny appeal quicker and you'll always want more. That lack of satisfaction turns into a lack of appreciation. And then you lose who you are because you're trying to find it externally, that happiness, that satisfaction. And the problem with constantly trying to find contentment externally is that it never solves the lack of contentment within, which is where the issue is that needs to be worked on. External happiness is fleeting. It's never something you can fully stay in control with because it can be taken from you quite easily. Internal contentment, that is yours. You can have the onus on that. If you can get that into a healthy place, it promotes longer, gratifying time of achieving external stuff, but feeling satisfied with it. Recognize greed for what it is and need to go within and work on it. Greed is a reaction to feelings of deprivation, to get as much as you can of something as quick as you can. Does it come from a fear of at one time not having enough? The fear of thinking you were going to be left without something and it was going to be taken from you and you would suffer as a result of not having that thing? If the answers come to you now on this, then great. It's the starting point of what you need to make peace with. If you're recognising that greed is part of your nature, then maybe you can use some of the positive qualities about it to drive a good life for yourself, but not of detriment to other people. Greed can be turned around by giving more to others. Desiring a decent life, motivating yourself to work hard and smash your goals you've set for yourself, this is a good thing. Tackle the greed within to work with the negative qualities of it that steer you towards the wrong side of it, which will always provide you with unfulfillment. Envy. When we see other people with something that we want, it's perfectly normal to want that too, especially if it's something that can make our lives better and our relationships more fulfilling. It only starts to become a problem when we see somebody with that thing and we want to take it from them. If we send jealous vibes their way because we have a problem with what they have, why would we deny somebody else a happier existence? It doesn't make sense if you are a truly happy, contented person, which leads to the problem of envy. It is about you and not the other person. Perhaps the other person is flashing the cash, their new car, their new home. And if they are, maybe they'll live in these seven sins too. But even so, it begs the question, why do people feel envious of others? What it does reflect is a mirror onto their own insecurities, feeling incomplete and imperfect. Envy helps us identify what is missing in our own lives. That thing that the other person has that you want, bring it back to you instantly. The five whys of what is making you seethe when you see that other person with it. Ask yourself, why have I got a problem with that person? An answer will come to mind. Then ask another question and keep asking it until the real answer is staring you in the face. Just keep on drilling down until you get that answer. When you recognise that answer, you can then work on yourself about it. Chances are it's fuck all to do with the other person and it's about you. What is missing from your world? What could make it better? Why wouldn't you want that other person to be blessed? Take social media as an everyday example. I came off social media for 6 years because I was sick of the bullshit, the fakeness. People only put the nice stuff on there that they wanted others to know about. And that's normal. I totally get why people wouldn't want to air their dirty linen on social media. I mean, that stuff is offline business. But I did remove myself from it for 6 years. And I lived an offline life of peace and quiet whilst I worked out what my issues were with it. I was happy for other people achieving. I never begrudged anybody that, but I did instantly recognise that my own messy head at that time was not well adjusted enough to cope with the constant show and tell of other people every day. Nowadays, I am removed from that stuff. It bounces off me. But if this is the kind of stuff that bugs you about social media, it is there as a reminder of something that could be sitting unresolved and needing to be recognised and healed within you. Stop comparing yourself to others. You are a great person. You've got loads to offer the world. So start seeing this envy as something of a sign that you can work on and improve. Always bring it back to you. On a positive note, being envious on a smaller, non-destructive scale can actually help you strive to work harder for something. It could be the driver to make you want to do better and get better in life. What is your envy telling you? Listen to it, journal it, ask for answers if you don't know, but use it to work on yourself and make it work for you so that you can achieve stuff from it, anything you desire, and evolve from it. Wrath, big bad anger, losing your rag, acts of revenge, passive aggression. You know when people say that they're not angry, but they blatantly are. The dark mood descending in the vibe line. Faces like thunder, going purple. But they're not mad. Catch yourself on, mate. You're pissed off. Just say what it is you want to say. Wrath, anything from petty quips and sarcasm to a full-blown Hulk out. Emotions like anger are all part of your reaction to something you do not dig. If you're listening to this and you know you have anger issues, then maybe use this as a wisdom. If you have anger because you're working through stuff right now and healing, you may face moments of anger during this process. Use this productively to find out what your trigger is. And then you can find out what it is you need to work on and then be able to heal it. And then the pain will go away and you'll move on happier. Feeling and getting angry is a way of moving blocked emotions from your energy pathways. This is actually good for you. What could be bad for you is where you let your anger out. Anger is best let out with exercise. Any form of exercise, whatever it is you crave. Exercise is the most rewarding place to lose your anger because it actually rewards you with endorphins. So it's like an exchange of hormones and you get the better end of the deal because you get the nice buzzy endorphins. So you've done it through a natural feel-good hormone exchange and you've released that frustration and nobody has got hurt. So use your anger to heal, know your triggers, learn from them, deal with the findings, release it productively with exercise and move on from the situation. Calmness will come. Consider quick meditations in addition to the exercise. I used to be an angry bird. I was like the orange one. And my anger kept having me catapulted into crates in space. Teenage rebellion at 35. I hated everything. I was always angry, constantly attracting toxic crap and bad luck on a daily basis. Got into more rows with people that year than ever before. But rather than let my anger out in the gym or in an exercise form, I channeled it into the next sin. Coming up after this music break. Welcome back. Hope you like these little music breaks that I put on. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yep, the seven sins. So we've covered pride, envy, and wrath so far. And now we're going on to lust. When we think of lust, we think of sex straight away. Well, a lot of people do. Primal desires for other people. But lust can apply to other things we crave too. Money, possessions, life. You could have a lust for living. And you could want to travel and experience life. This is not a bad thing. So like others, it's not all bad. But like others, it can cause problems if in excess. Attractive people are everywhere. Attraction is a normal part of biology, whether you're a human or an animal. Lusting on a smaller scale is fine. Acting on the lust is where you can sometimes hit your problems. But you don't need me to tell you that. If you're with someone in a relationship or a marriage, acting on lust outside of that can become betrayal unless you've got an open relationship. That betrayal can cause problems with the person that you're with. It can destroy the trust permanently. Stating the obvious here, but just a gentle reminder for any of you listeners that are currently fighting with temptation right now. Don't do it. It's not worth the chaos or the karma. Instead, bring it back to what's really going on here and why it's there. Sometimes people are put on our journey as curveballs. What is lacking in the relationship that you're in? What gap is it that meant somebody else could get under your skin? This can give you a chance to put some effort back into reviving the current relationship. And if you don't have the energy to revive this relationship, then it might be wise to evaluate whether you should be there at all. Everyone has trying times. Sometimes real life can get things totally rocky at times, and this can sometimes iron out where maybe you're out of sync with the other person and you get back on track and you use the wake-up call of lust to find that time and effort with who you're with and it makes things good again. If you're free as a bird, then lust isn't always a bad thing But if you are lusting after toxic people or attached people, this is going to serve you some problems too. We've all got to eat, but many of us can get to a point where the casual lusting isn't doing it for us anymore. That deeper connection is not being formed there. It's like living off processed or junk food. You can live off it, but it stops feeling good after a time and you start hungering for something more substantial. The unmet need of lust is loneliness, craving excitement of some kind. And as I've said before, lusting for something, it's not all about the sex. It can be applied to a lust for anything. We can lust after something, we have a driven need to obtain something. Applying that to real life and finding a lust for life and trying new things for the crack and not just for the pressure of being perfect at it first time. This is key to putting some joy back into your life. It's good for you. Opportunities will open up. Your confidence will build. Having a lust for something helps you set objectives and goals. It's a great motivator. So use lust productively. In a loving sense, make time to find some common ground in your relationship and sort that out. In an overall sense, use lust for changing those routines that you've become stuck in that are not serving you anymore. Gluttony. Gluttony is something most of us have felt after a big meal or too many snacks. How many times have you gone out for a meal and got about 3/4 of the way through it and you're so full and you can't even move, but you still have to finish it or at least try? And even though there is the possibility of taking it home in a doggy bag, sometimes there isn't quite enough left on the plate to do that. But you paid for it, so you're going to eat it and get your money's worth. So you carry on, despite being full. This is modern day gluttony, people. It still amazes me the portion sizes we get in the form of meals, of takeouts, or in restaurants. They are massive. A lot of people may leave it for the next day, or just bin it. Maybe you live a generally healthy life, and this is a once in a while thing. If gluttony is a regular thing, or if you're stuck at home eating throughout the day and into the evenings, that excess of food is going to store onto your body after a time. Then you add the added problem of weight gain and the health problems that come from that. My weight has fluctuated over the years, but I was always pretty inside the range that I was supposed to be. I would get to the heavier end of that spectrum. My body would start to punish me with superficial type symptoms like digestive problems, feeling sluggish and low on energy, and that kickstart me into losing that excess weight and getting to the lower end of that spectrum, and the superficial issues would go. Last year, however, after hitting that point, the weight did not come off quite so easily as it used to. The old diet ways just weren't working for me anymore. And when I was trying to figure out why this wasn't working, the stress kicked in. And as we know, stress does not help with diets. The extra eating had made my weight heavier than ever before. And being older, it wasn't as easy to lose as it was before. Those surefire guarantees that used to lose me that weight were not working this time. And that caused stress for months that I had been emotionally eating. And this had caused me to be gluttonous. I realised there were plenty of times last summer when I would eat snacks in the evening, whether I was hungry or not. It became habitual. Is this something that you do? Does eating make you feel better? This is a very common thing and it can be fixed, but recognising it is key to making these changes. So many people eat for emotions. There are various factors at play here. Many of us have been raised by generations who have encouraged us and rewarded us for finishing what was on our plate. And now those plates are bigger, but this can still apply. And it's not because these people were feeders. It's because as kids, they may not have had the luxury that we have today of being surrounded with constant food. Back then, you ate what you were given, and if you didn't, you went without. Gluttony to our ancestors was survival to them. They needed to eat when the opportunity was there because it wasn't always there. And that extra energy could be stored for the inevitable times of when there wouldn't be food. Most of us these days in the developed world do not have to worry about food becoming scarce. Quite the opposite, in fact. Not only do we have things like fridges and freezers to store our food, there is just much more of it about, and it's pretty affordable. Many of us now have the problem of being overfaced with eating options. It surrounds us, but we also have our primal brain still telling us to store food before the famine is coming. But generally, in a developed world, this isn't going to be the case. Life is about balance. A blowout once in a while isn't bad for you if you're eating healthy and enough most of the time. But if you are excessively eating and can recognize that you're doing this out of habit or because you feel emotionally not right and it's bringing you some comfort, then maybe this is a good chance to learn more about yourself and what needs are not being met. How do you feel about yourself? Do you have emotional needs that are not being met? Look into this, journal it, meditate with it, and those answers will come. Gluttony is a sign that maybe you need to connect with yourself and emotionally connect with who you are and what could be missing from your world. The food is just a diversion. There are likely to be unmet needs within you that need to be addressed. And in my experience, the moment I looked into this and realized I was emotionally eating, the game turned around and the weight started coming off. I actually used the law of attraction to assist me with this. I found a quiet moment with the mindset I am receiving answers and solutions that will help me lose this weight. And I got them, and I was pointed towards helpful solutions on YouTube about pre-diabetes, and the weight started to finally come off the plateau that I'd been on for months on end. And I can promise you, things can turn around when you start addressing the real reasons why you are emotionally eating. You'll start to work on that and not need the amount of food that you've been needing beforehand. And you're not going to learn this from a fad diet, so take it nice and slow. Play the long game. You'll also learn how to be mindful of what makes you emotionally eat in the future, meaning that you can get a handle on things if you find the weight starting to come on in the future. Sloth. I think many of us can identify with feeling lazy and demotivated at times. It comes so easily to me. We all benefit from chilling out and relaxing after a busy day or evening. Our bodies and minds do need to wind down to keep functioning well, but it's very easy to relax for that bit too long, and that's when the problems start to occur. Winding down is great, but at some point you will have to rev up and start living again. Because if you continue to stay in the wind down zone, laziness starts kicking in. We're really not wired to be lazy. The down cycle of laziness means that sometimes demotivation follows. Achieving anything becomes an effort. And when you do try and get out of that zone, procrastination can kick in, which can lead to us not feeling arsed because the focus isn't there, and then the time gets wasted. Any goals that you want to set become harder to identify, let alone achieve. Comfort habits that do serve the sloth start forming, and then these take away our happiness and motivation. A lot of people out there associate stress with having too much on and not having time and constantly juggling things and feeling worried about stuff. But a massive proportion of people out there who suffer from stress actually don't have enough going on. Yes, stress can happen when you're bored. And the boredom kicks in because your mind is telling you that you need to be working towards something or changing something that isn't working, and yet you can't be arsed because it's become more comfortable to chill out and not do anything. We're not wired to live without doing anything. We lose our lust for life, and all those other sins discussed can easily drive from too much sloth. On the upside, of course, downtime is important. It's productive to slow down, replenish, enjoy the rest, and take stock of where you are. And if you don't do this enough, then try and allow yourself some rest time before you burn out. Laziness is a fear. Fear of not succeeding as much as we'd like. Fear of failing, so why even bother? For many people, the sloth part of their existence will go as soon as it becomes more fearful to do nothing than to actually do something that requires some effort. If you're prone to this, reflect on this and address it. Build yourself up slowly by adding something else productive into your typical day. Change your routine a little bit. That chore that you've been putting off, writing a to-do list, throw or give away something that you don't want or need anymore. However small, add something to your day and that momentum will follow. And with that momentum brings a bit of motivation that you'll recognize, and you're instantly happier doing something than nothing. That will become habitual, and that's how you turn it around. Even procrastination, use it to your advantage. Clear your head when you find procrastination kicking in. Often the answers or the starting point is simply sitting below the energy that we need to burn off, or maybe our heads are a bit fuzzy. Finding a way of getting these things out of your head can kickstart that motivation, and procrastination will go. And when the momentum comes, your motivation for the other things come back too. So just be mindful to rest for a time before you get back on it. And then you have conquered your sloth. So too much of any of these things, pride, envy, greed, wrath, lust, gluttony, sloth, they're not good for us. And that's probably why they were seen as sins in the biblical sense, which is still relevant and will continue to be with time. In small amounts, though, the advantages can be pulled from them and flipped around to bring in a productive state of being. We can thrive from them and learn from them. It's when the balance tips that the problems and the behaviours stop serving us, and it makes it harder for good to come into our lives. We all have higher amounts of these qualities than others. And when we are being tested and going through shit, they can rear their ugly heads. But seeing that for what it is a good thing. It can bring us opportunities to evolve and learn more about ourselves and grow as people, which of course is a good thing. After listening to this episode, I hope you've learned something about yourself and there's something at a starting point for you to work on and improve. We have now reached the end of this episode. We hope that it has helped you identify areas that you need to work on and how they came to be. Many of these sins have come from unmet needs within, and this can be a breakthrough to learning more about yourself and working on how you can balance your life to make it more positive and fulfilling. If you liked this episode, please share it with your people, download it so you can listen to it whenever you need to. Our other episodes are also available for download. Drop us a line if there's anything, any topic that you'd like to hear more about that would help or entertain you. Till next time, take care of yourself. See you later.